Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Thursday, March 28th. Today, Colorado Sun editor David Krause talks with health reporter John Ingold about an exciting breakthrough for people suffering from severe food allergies and the Colorado research connections that helped make it happen. Before we begin, whether you're buying a new home, taking a loan to purchase your first car, or putting money away for a rainy day, banking doesn't need to be complicated. Above all else, Alpine Bank wants you to achieve your dreams. It's that simple. For 50 years, their focus has been on you. And for the next 50 years and beyond, that won't change. Because a better tomorrow for their customers starts with helping dreams come true today. Learn more about Alpine Bank and its services at alpinebank.com or stop in and see them. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this date in 1862, the Gettysburg of the West took place at Glorieta Pass, east of Santa Fe. This marked a pivotal Union victory against a Confederate invasion aimed at Colorado's goldfields. The clash stemmed from Confederate desperation for resources, prompting Colorado's Governor Gilpin to form a defensive regiment in 1861. Led by Colonel John Slough, Colorado volunteers trained and marched to join New Mexico's defenders, engaging the enemy at Glorieta Pass. Despite initial indecision, a strategic attack on Confederate supplies by Major John Shivington forced the Confederates to retreat, securing the region for the Union. This victory, costly but crucial, underscored the determination of the Union's forces, despite Governor Gilpin's eventual removal from office for the financial toll of the campaign. Before we continue, join the Colorado Sun virtually April 4th as environmental reporter Michael Booth sits down with RTD and Front Range Rail and discusses the future of passenger rail in Colorado. The event is free, just RSVP today. Visit coloradosun.com/2024-train-event. Next, our feature story.
Hey, thanks for listening today, everybody. I'm David Krause, one of the editors here at the Colorado Sun, and I'm happy to be able to jump into a Thursday episode of the Sun Up with health reporter John Ingold. Hey there, John Ingold.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for letting me crash the Thursday session.
Always.
Yeah, we got Mike Booth. We decided to give him a little R&R, so figured I'd just jump in and help out, and he got a really interesting story. It was in the Temperature newsletter yesterday, posted on the website today, about some relief coming for people who have severe food allergy reactions, which you and I have probably seen, a lot of people have seen firsthand, unfortunately. John, walk us through this new breakthrough on possible treatment for people with severe allergies.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just to kind of kick it off, food allergies are something that are increasing. I think we all know that anecdotally. You see that more and more with kids. Peanut allergies being very common, but also we're talking milk allergies, egg allergies, soy, wheat, you know, all sorts of things that can kick off really dangerous allergic reactions. And one of the things that people who are struggling and dealing with food allergies have to deal with when they're out in the world is the risk of accidental exposure. Right. You can read the label. You can do everything possible. You can ask the server, you know, hey, does this have peanut in it? Does it have egg in it? But you don't always know what you're getting. And there's also the risk of cross-contamination. So if you're somebody who has a food allergy that's so severe that it can be triggered by even just tiny amounts of that food being in something you're eating, this can actually be a really life-threatening situation. And up until now, there hasn't really been a good way to help these folks. And so last month, the Food and Drug Administration, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, approved the use of a drug called Xolair, which has previously been approved to treat asthma. They've now approved it for the treatment of food allergies in this way of trying to give people something that will, it doesn't cure their food allergy, but it does limit the ability of or limit the risk of having a severe reaction due to an accidental exposure.
So, John, do you know, I know you talked to a few people, and we'll get into this, how one of the Denver hospitals has helped with this, but Can you kind of break down how this drug works and who, you know, you talk about food allergy and asthma patients, who is it really going to benefit?
Yeah, so this drug is specifically for people whose food allergies are what are called IgE mediated. So let's break that down a little bit. An allergic reaction is basically an immune response in your body. It's your immune system freaking out about this foreign thing in your body and attacking. It's going into attack mode. And IgE is it's an immunoglobulin, or it's an antibody that helps sort of trigger this attack mode in your body when it detects something that it doesn't like in there. So if you have a peanut allergy, you have a little bit of peanut in your system, IgE will freak out. It'll start latching onto these receptors, and your body will launch into an immune response that is actually quite dangerous for you. So what this drug does is an anti-IgE drug. So it basically binds onto these antibodies before they can get onto the receptors. So it prevents them from sort of starting the attack mode. Now, there are different kinds of food allergies, and not everybody's food allergy involves IgE. So for those folks, this treatment won't be effective, unfortunately. But a good many people do have food allergies that are IgE mediated. And so for these folks, you know, this will benefit them potentially.
And I think it's really interesting. It's something we love to do here at the Colorado Sun. We're talking about a national issue, right? But it's got roots in research here in Denver. As you wrote about, National Jewish Health in Denver has played a big role in this research. John, kind of walk through what they've been doing there at National Jewish.
Yeah, so folks who know National Jewish probably know it for its work on respiratory illness and respiratory issues, so a lot of lung stuff. But they also have a focus on allergies. And this is longstanding. This goes back decades and decades, even before it was officially known as National Jewish Health. So we can trace this all the way back into the late 60s. And National Jewish Health and a couple of researchers who were working there, a husband-wife team that was working there, were some of the first people in the world to actually even discover IgE and understand better what it does. So you can kind of go back all the way to the genesis of understanding these food allergies. And there's a component of what was to become National Jewish in that. Also, 20 years ago, there's a doctor still at National Jewish who 20 years ago was working on this very same kind of concept of using an anti-IgE drug to try to help people with food allergies. And some of his research really laid the groundwork for looking at this. It took a while to get kind of the legal and regulatory and scientific policies rallied around this idea, but it did end up leading to these later studies and trials, and National Jewish was involved in some of the more recent research to validate that this drug can be effective and to help it win its approval.
John, you kind of touched on what the benefits are, but can you tell us, it's not like an EpiPen, right? What's the protocol going to be for people to take this medicine, and what does that mean for them going forward?
Yeah, so it's a little bit like an EpiPen in one way, in that it's an injectable drug. So, but it's not an on-the-spot thing. It's not a when-you-need-it thing. It's something you do regularly, you know, maybe every 2 weeks, maybe every 4 weeks. But it would be something you would need to do regularly, and you would need to keep it up. It's not something that, you know, you get a few doses and then, hey, it's, you know, it's there with you forever. It's something that you kind of need to keep in your system so that it's ready to respond when your body tries to respond. So, yeah, it would be early on. There is potentially the risk of having a reaction to the drug. So it's the recommended that you would get your earliest injections in a clinical setting where they could respond in case something bad happened. But later on, it's something that you could administer yourself at home, or if you're a parent trying to protect your children, you could administer it to your kids at home.
John, I appreciate the conversation today and you following this story. I think it's going to be helpful for, like you talked about in the story, for millions of Americans, but thousands of people in Colorado as well. So really appreciate you bringing all this new insight to us. If you want to read this story or more Colorado health news, go to coloradosun.com. You'll see it there on our homepage. Also, if you haven't, you can sign up for John and Mike's weekly newsletter called The Temperature, where this first debuted. That's available at coloradosun.com/temperature. Always like to remind people that the Sun is a member of the Trust Project, and you can see our commitment to trusted journalism on our ethics page at coloradosun.com/ethics. John Engel, thanks for letting me hang out with you today.
Hey, appreciate you, Dave. Thank you.
Cheers.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Housing officials in Steamboat Springs are heading back to the drawing board after city voters turned down a housing project for up to 6,000 residents. In a special election, voters said no Tuesday to annexing 420 acres that would have been home to the 20-year Brown Ranch plan. The land was purchased using a $24 million anonymous donation to the local housing authority, which spent 2 years working on the plan to build 2,200 affordable units. But more than 5,500 people voted, and 57% said no to the annexation. A provision in a Senate bill is looking to fix the oil and gas orphan well problem in Colorado by allowing officials to go after former owners of the site if the current owners can't pay for the cleanup. For the first time, the number of abandoned wells has topped the 1,000 mark in the state. Last year, the state's orphan well program spent $10 million cleaning up sites. The bill, which is trying to end the issuing of new drilling permits in 2030, is slated for a hearing Thursday before the Senate Agriculture and Energy Committee. A new report by broadband researchers says the Federal Communications Commission undercounted about 1 million Americans who do not have access to adequate internet speeds. That includes about 13,000 Coloradans. The figure likely won't change how much money the feds have allocated to the state for broadband investment. According to the Colorado Broadband Office, 92% of households in the state are covered with internet download speeds of at least 100 megabits per second and 20 megabits up. That leaves 160,000 households without adequate service or no service at all. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Jason Blevins. I'm the outdoors writer here at the Colorado Sun, co-founder of the Colorado Sun. I'm on the weekly podcast with David Krause every Monday. And I also write a weekly newsletter. Comes out every Thursday. It's called The Outsider. Take a look at each issue has sort of early glimpses of stories. I got stuff on housing, high country business, high country culture, public lands, public land managers, kind of just about anything kind of interesting and happening on the Western Slope. Try to get into it. Ski industry stuff. I invite you to come check it out. It's one of the many newsletters we have at the Colorado Sun. Head to coloradosun.com/join and become a member and support the Colorado Sun. Appreciate you guys listening. Thanks.